take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Judges, chapter 7. Judges, chapter 7, we'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Judges, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give to the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence being here in this place. Lord, we're a needy people. We're a sinful people. Lord, we're a people that without your word and without your instruction have no idea how to live on this world. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power. He's walked with you and met with you and worked for you. He has your words for us. May we hear them today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We come to the most important part of our day. We've had some fun. We've sang. We've fellowshipped. But any time we open up the old black book, it's time for us to realize God now wants to speak to our hearts. I told our congregation the title of my sermon on Wednesday night. I don't normally do that. Now, I'll mention the Sunday evening sermon title on Sunday morning, but Wednesday night, I told our people I would be speaking this morning on the subject, scaredy cats, dumb bunnies, and bugle boys. And indeed, that is the title of this morning's sermon. Earlier, Brother Bush read with you from Judges chapter number 7. Here in Judges 7, we find that famous passage of scripture about Gideon. Let me tell you a little bit about Gideon, and you'll understand the sermon as it unfolds this morning. The Midianites were the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people. God had chosen among his people a captain, a leader. That leader's name was Gideon. There was an uncountable number of the enemy, or the Midianites. You couldn't even count how many people the Midianites had. The Bible says you couldn't even count the number of camels that they had. Now, their camels, that would have been like their cavalry. Now, so you know, they had a big cavalry, but they always had more footmen than they had cavalry people. They said you couldn't even count the number of camels they had to ride, let alone the size of their army. This is what they compared it to, and if we read the whole story here, you'd find this. They compared it to the sand of the sea. There were so many Midianites, they said they're as the sand of the sea. I got to thinking about it. I thought, I wonder how hard it would be to figure out what one pail, one bucket of sand, how many pieces of sand would be in there. But it would be outrageous. There were so many people, they looked as if the sand of the sea. And these were the enemies of God. This was the army that Gideon was about to face. Well, we found out that Gideon had 32,000 men. Well, evidently, that there was enough people there, or a lowest enough people there, that they could count them. Now, it doesn't look real good for the home team at this point. When you can't count the number of people that are fighting for the opposition, and they do take the time to count your soldiers, I'm sure you're beginning to see the picture here. It wasn't looking good. And then God says to Gideon, now remember, Gideon has 32,000 soldiers. God comes to Gideon in Judges 7 verse 2 and says, the people that are with thee are too many. And I'm going to guess that Gideon looked up at God and said, what? Yes. Can you repeat that? My hearing aid was turned down, I think. The batteries are going bad. God said, the people that are with thee are too many. Wait a minute. The Midianites have soldiers to the point you can't even count them. Gideon has 32,000 soldiers. And in a little powwow, God says to Gideon, you have too many soldiers. I think Gideon probably for a moment there thought God was having an off day. I wonder if Gideon said, God, you know, is your calculator broken? You know, you're not thinking well today, God. But that's exactly what God told Gideon. Then God said, you tell, Judges chapter 7, verse 3, it says, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. So God said, Gideon, you've got too many people. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just say to all your soldiers, if any of you are afraid, go home. And probably Gideon thought, well, there'll be a couple of guys that are going to go home. But so Gideon calls all his soldiers together, 32,000 of them. He said, all right, fellas, anybody here that is afraid to go to war, you can go home. Gideon, he blinked his eyes. He looked up and 22,000 of his men had their tail between their legs running home to mama. And I'm sure, again, Gideon said, this ain't good. It's a bad sign. He started with 32,000. God said, you have too many. God said, the way we're going to reduce your crowd is we're going to say to anyone that's afraid, you may go home. Gideon followed God's instructions, and 22,000 of his soldiers packed their duds and headed home to mama to have some chocolate chip cookies. He now has 10,000 soldiers left. He was already outnumbered. And God said, Gideon, I need to talk to you. And Gideon probably thought, you're coming to your senses, huh? You're going to give me some of them soldiers back. All right, God, go ahead, admit to me you didn't know what you were doing. And God said in Judges 7:4, the people are yet too many. And I'm sure Gideon thought, I shouldn't have gone to that last appointment with God. This is not good. The people are yet too many? God said, you have too many still. God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the 10,000 soldiers that you have left. I want you to take them down to the river. And we're going to give them a little test to see how smart they are. You tell them to go get a drink of water. Now, folks, if I were you in this day and age, I wouldn't be drinking from the river. Okay. But back then, it wasn't so bad. Now you drink from the river, you'll glow in the dark. God said, you go down to the river and you have them all take a drink, and Gideon, you watch them. You watch to see who gets down on all fours and laughs like a dog. I mean, they get down on their hands and their knees like an animal, and they put their head down to the water and just lap it up with their tongue like a dog. And then you see who kneels down with their head raised and puts their hands into the water and makes it into a cup and pulls the water up to their head. So you're going to have some that will get down like a dog and actually laugh with their face down into the water. You'll have others that will bring the water up to their face using their hands and their arms. You watch and see. You know, have you ever seen a deer? You men that deer hunt. That old deer, he doesn't like putting his head down. If he takes a bite of food, he'll put his head down for a moment. He'll pick it back up. He's always looking around. He'll put his head down for just a moment, and it's right back up. Always watching. Why? A deer's a survivor, you see. A deer's smart. He knows he doesn't want to put his head down. Number one, he wants to see. Number two, he wants to smell. He's always getting that head up. You watch the deer drink. He'll lap just a little, and he'll get that head right back up, looking all around. Now, I've got a dog at home. It's the most ferocious dog in the entire universe. It's called Pupcake. It's my wife's dog. Now, Pupcake, when she goes to drinking, she just puts her face down into her bowl and she doesn't care about anything. She's not lifting her head up. The only thing you get her to lift her head up is she thinks she's going to get a snack, too. And, you know, she'll lift her head up to make sure where that snack's coming in at. But she just puts her face down into that water. And God said, now, Gideon, you're gonna need to get rid of some of these 10,000 men that you have left. Take them down to the river. Tell them to drink. You're watching for two styles of drinking. You're going to have one that'll be like a dog, and he'll put his face right down into the water and lap it. You'll be the other is going to be a little bit like that deer, if you will. He'll be watching. He'll keep his head up. He'll bring the water up to his face instead of his face down to the water. And Gideon thought, I know my men. They're not going to drink like dogs. And the Bible says they went down to the river, they drank. 9,700 of his men lapped like a dog. 9,700. And God, Gideon said to God, okay, God, now, do you want me to try it again? God said, no, you only get one chance. And God said, Gideon, send that 9,700 men home. They don't qualify. And I'm sure once again, Gideon thought, God, do you know what you're talking about here? See, God, I started with 32,000, and you sent all those men home. You sent home 22,000 of my men. I only had 10,000 left, and you just told me to give them this dumb little test right here, and 9,700 of them are going home. God, do you understand how many I had left? Now, God can count. I'm sure Gideon wondered if God could count. Gideon said, I've only got 300 men left. And God said, that's the exact number you need. Gideon said, wait a minute. Do you understand? They have so many men in their cavalry, you can't even count the camels. He said, then they've got all their footmen. They are as the sand of the sea. And all I have are 300 men left. God said, that's the exact number I wanted you to have to win this victory. Then God said, I'm going to give you the plans. And Gideon said, this ought to be good. I mean, see what we've already been through today. This ought to be real good. The Bible says in Judges chapter 7, verse 16, it says he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand. And an empty pitcher, you know, like you'd put pitcher water in. Or water into a pitcher, an empty pitcher, and lamps within the pitchers. So God said, here's how we're going to do it, Gideon. I'm going to give every one of your men a trumpet. I'm going to give every one of your men a pitcher. Then we're going to put a lamp inside the pitcher, and now you're going to go to battle. And I'm sure Gideon thought, wait a minute. We don't have any machine guns. We don't have any hand grenades. A trumpet? Oh, we're just going to have to play the funeral march. 300 of us. And you're giving us a trumpet, a pitcher, and a lamp? Doesn't sound good. But that's what God told Gideon to do. Gideon followed God. And God said, Gideon, now you tell them to do as you say and to follow you and to do and mimic you and do as you do. And so Gideon told the men, said, men, you've got your trumpet there. And men, you've got your a pitcher. And in your pitcher, there is a lamp. And so, in essence, that lamp was down inside that pitcher. And here they had a trumpet. They had their pitcher and their lamp. And he said, when I blow my trumpet, men, you blow your trumpet. Then when I shout, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, then you shout, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Then we're going to break our pitchers. Remembering, the moment they break that pitcher, the lamp is on the inside. We're going to break our pitcher, revealing the lamp. And the men said, okay, then what? Gideon said, I don't know. But that's what God said. Now you're talking about 300 men that had an awful lot of confidence in Gideon because they just got rid of thousands and thousands of soldiers. They're down to trumpets, pitchers, and lights. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go to battle with a trumpet, a flashlight, and an empty pitcher that water used to be carried in. Well, they did it. They did exactly what God said. They were there. They were ready to. They surrounded as much as you can with 300 men. They were up on this mountaintop, and the Midianites were down in the valley. The 300 men were divided into three companies, and they got one third above. Each group was one third above those Midianites. And all of a sudden, you heard Gideon. He blew his trumpet, and 300 trumpeters blew their trumpet. And then the next thing you know, you hear them shout, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And all the men shouted, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And then Gideon took his pitcher and he smashed that pitcher. And then suddenly the light came out and they could see the light. The Midianites, when they seen all this happening, using modern day vernacular, it freaked them out. They looked up. There's three companies of soldiers. They hear all of this. You see, let me explain. Usually, there would be one bugle boy for thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers. They had 300 buglers. 300. The Midianites said, whoa, listen to all the bugle boys. You see, somehow they thought that behind every bugle, there were tens of thousands of soldiers. Then, they would usually only have one person to carry a light to light the way for many thousand. Well, all of a sudden, they hear 300 buglers, which must mean hundreds of thousands of soldiers. They look up onto the hills, and there's lights everywhere lighting the path for this massive army that is following Gideon. They heard the shout, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And they're down in that valley. They're getting all panicked. And then you say, how about the breaking of that pitcher? What was that? That was to sound like the crashing of armor. That was all these men with armor moving forward because of the charge of the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And you know what happened? The Midianites were so scared. Well, and I would guess 300 men were kind of on edge at this point too. Because, you know, if you kick them off and you don't have anything to back it with, you are in trouble real fast here. But the Midianites, the enemy became so scared, the Bible says, they started running and panicking, and they started killing each other. First of all, they probably killed each other by the panic. I mean, when you got people stacked in there like the sand of the sea, it's like shopping at Walmart the day before Christmas. You could be killed. But there were so many people, they began trampling each other. But not only that. They began killing each other because in honor they would have rather killed themselves or each other than to be killed by the enemy. Nobody wanted to be taken down by the enemy. Kamikaze pilot in war, he would have taken himself out if he had to maybe try to take out some of the enemy. They didn't want to be taken prisoner. They didn't want to be slayed by the enemy. And they ended up killing themselves. And I'm sure the guys in the three companies, the 300, as they stood there and they watched all these guys down in the valley slaughter each other, at first, they were probably standing there with their bugle in one hand and shaking with the lamp in the other because they followed all the instructions and they're standing there waiting. You remember the question? Then what? They're just standing there waiting, wondering what's going to happen, probably trembling and shaking, and maybe whispering to each other, you see any of them coming our way? Are any of them coming our way? Oh no, what's next? What's going to happen next? After they started watching in that valley, and they started watching these men slaughter each other, I imagine the guys that were trembling began to say, I knew this was going to turn out good. I knew all along. We're beating the snot out of them. These guys are wimps. The Bible says those 300 men were used of God to have a great victory. You know something? I don't about imagine those 300 men were pretty proud of having a part of such a miraculous victory. You know who I feel sorry for? The 31,700 that God could not use. Those are the ones that I feel sorry for them. Imagine how they must have felt. You know, take the first 22,000. Those were the scaredy cats. But God said, you send the ones home that are afraid. Chickens. I don't know if when they all got home, children were going around town going, blah, 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 blah. You know how kids can be. Wonder if you were one of the 22,000 and you got home and your little boy said, hey, Daddy, tell me, how was the victory? And you had to say, I came home early, son. Daddy, why? You're not one of the... Are you? Son, listen. That's not really how it was. Think of how they had to cover. Think of it. They went down in history as cowards. Scaredy cats. Then, how about the 9,700... They made the first cut, but not the second cut. I call them the dumb bunnies. They're the ones that they went to drink. They weren't concerned at all what was going on around them. They weren't thinking. They weren't thinking people. I want friends that went to them and said, hey, weren't you with Gideon? Well, yeah, I was. How'd the war go? I don't know. I got sent home. What for? Well, I flunked my spiritual SAT test, I guess. Hey, did you get a purple heart? No. Had a yellow streak. God, I figured I was a little bit dumb to fight. Let me tell you what group I want to be in. I want to be a bugle boy.
Amen.
Yeah. I would want to be a bugle boy. And I don't know about you, but when we look back on it, you would have a choice. You could have been a scaredy cat, a dumb bunny, or a bugle boy. Now, I don't know about you, but as I look back on the story, I say, I don't want anything to do with that scaredy cat business. And I don't want to be a dumb bunny, but boy, hand me one of them bugles right there. Give me a picture. Hey, let me be one of the 300. Whoa, how about you, Christian? We're going to battle today. We live in a world where we feel a little bit outnumbered. I mean, you look at everything that comes across the television and all the advertising, and you look out there and you say, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, it's tough in this day and age to be a true, blue, old-fashioned Christian. It's difficult. I feel a little bit outnumbered. Well, let me tell you something. You need to stand up and say, the sword of the Lord, right there, that old book is the sword of the Lord. Say, the sword of the Lord, and you take a stand. But whatever you do, don't end up going down in history being a scaredy cat. Don't go down in history being a dumb bunny. Decide you want to be a bugle boy. Hey, scaredy cats. Let me talk to you about it for a second. Scaredy cats. Hey, Gideon said, if you're afraid, go home. 22,000 people went home because they were afraid. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. These people did without victory because they were chicken. They were chicken. They had spiritual yellow streaks down their back. You heard the old saying, cowards are a dime a dozen. You know, they didn't make it into the hall of fame. They made it into the hall of shame. Can you imagine when 22,000 people showed up back home with their tails between their legs, all the questions they were asked? According to the way this story turned out, they feared for no reason, didn't they? I mean, you look at the end of the story and you find out that they were afraid, but they were afraid for no reason. They should have just put their faith in God and obeyed and did what God wanted. Because later on, hey, I can't imagine trying to explain to your son, Dad, did you hear the great victory? Not one of our men were killed. They smashed them. They massacred them. They didn't even have to raise a hand. Why, you come home, Dad. scaredy cats. The victory was theirs. Hey, Christian, intimidated by this world, I've got some very good news for you. This whole world may be trying to intimidate you, and you may feel like you're outnumbered. But let me tell you something. You and God make a majority. Don't put your tails between your legs and run. You don't have to. The victory is already won. If you're a born-again Christian today, let me make it very clear. We are going to heaven. We will be in charge with Him. We are the victors. Hey, we may lose a few battles down here, but the war is already signed, sealed, and delivered. Don't be a scaredy cat. Will you have victory? What will you be? Will you be a scaredy cat? Or are you going to be a bugle boy? What is it for you, Christian? Have you ever seen a scared cat? I mean, honestly, you scare a cat. I mean, that hair on their back pops up, their body bows, and they're out of there. They can jump and run and hide. Some of you put way too much energy into running. Time for some of you to put your energy into becoming a bugle boy. Don't be a scaredy cat. Don't be a scaredy cat. You go ahead and take a stand for God. Do you fear serving God because of your peers? You scaredy cat? You afraid? Are you afraid of your peers? You afraid of your friends? Now listen to me, folks. All of us. Hey, you can go back in history as far as you want. People have had to take a stand against people ever since people were created. Yes, indeed, we're afraid of each other. Indeed, the human race has a certain intimidation about the human race. But let me tell you something. Christians are not to be intimidated by this world. You're a born-again Christian. You need to stand up. And I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being unkind. But I am talking about getting the yellow streak off your back, grabbing you a bugle, and letting it be known, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I don't do that. I don't say that. I don't go there. I don't want to hear that. Hey, or are you a scaredy cat? These people did not have the privilege of seeing God do a miraculous victory because they had a yellow streak down their back. Do you fear your family? Let me tell you all something. All the way through history, people have gotten saved. People have started getting right with God. And they had to tell their family that they were going to serve God. You're not the first one. You're not the first one that needed to say, Dad, I'm going to church Sunday morning. Mom, I'm going to church. You're not the first one that had to say to the family, look, we're going to have to show up the family reunion a little bit late because we're going to church. You're not the first one that needed to say to the family, we don't do that anymore. Amen. Don't be a scaredy cat. Others have done it. Oh, we get scared and we have that fear and we fear our peers and we fear our family. Some of you fear failure. Let me clear something up for y'all. You say, Brother Owens, I'd like to be a good Christian, but I'm afraid I'll fail. Let me clear that up for you right now. Yes, you will. You will fail. Now that's over with. We all know every one of us are going to fail at being good Christians. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. But let me tell you what you do. Every one of us are going to fall. Every one of us are going to fail. But all you do is get back up. You say, but I'm afraid I'm going to fall. Yes, you will. But all you do is get back up. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Stop being afraid. Yes, you will. Just do it. Jump in. If you don't try, you are a for sure failure. If you don't try, you're a for sure failure. We all fear failure. And one of the reasons why is because we don't want to be embarrassed about our failure. You know, if all of us in the church would not bring the pressure of embarrassment upon those that fail, it might not be so bad. I can't convince everybody to back off a little bit and realize we're all sinners. But let me tell you something. I'm going to fail. You're going to fail. We're going to fail this year. We're going to fail next year. But let's not fail at trying. Let's keep trying and trying and trying and trying.
You can try and possibly fail or not try and for sure fail. Hey, do you fear that you might need to give something up to get right with God? That's your fear? Fear paralyzes productivity. It does. Fear will paralyze you. You won't do what you ought to do for God. 22,000 people said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And God said, send them home. For this kind of work, we need some people that are just going to step out by faith. I'll tell you something. I believe probably all 32,000 had fear. 22 said, I'm running. The other 10 said, I'm scared that I ain't moving. I get scared too, but I ain't moving. But don't you ever have fears? I have fears. But I'm not moving. By the grace of God, I'm not moving. I don't want to move. I want to stick around and see. I want to see the juicy stuff. I want to be there when they pass out the bugles. I want to be a bugle boy. I don't want to be a scaredy cat. The reason you don't tell others about Jesus, the reason you're not a soul winner, you're a scaredy cat. Jump in. You say, I might embarrass myself. Yes, you will, just like the rest of us. But jump in. Do you fear that God might truly start using you? You know, one of the reasons we fear is because of a lack of trust in God. Because if we really trusted God, we would know that He never fails. He never fails. The devil has intimidated some of you out of being the kind of Christian you could be. He's intimidated you. So I have these fears. Those fears are coming out of intimidation. And let me tell you something. Your God is bigger than the devil. And if you want to launch out, you want to try to be a good Christian, go ahead. All the rest of us are still trying. None of us have accomplished perfect Christianity, nor will we. Well, when we get to heaven, that's going to be a great day. We're all just trying. The devil's faking you out. Hey, which are you? Scaredy cat? Or a bugle boy? Then we go to another little group here. The ones called the dumb bunnies. Well, who are these? These are ones that they weren't thinking. They weren't thinking about what they were doing. They didn't use their noodle. They didn't use their head. It's time for some of you to start thinking. Thinking spiritually. You're not afraid, but you don't use your head about what you do. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's time for some of you to start thinking spiritually 7 days a week. Not just for a moment in the week, all week long. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measure themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, and says they are not wise. Now the part of that verse I want you to notice, the Bible says there are times when people are just not thinking wisely. They're just not using their head. We're not being smart spiritually. I call them the dumb bunnies here. These people did without victory because they didn't take the time to think so they could be a part of the spiritual warfare. They didn't use their heads. They were wearing the spiritual dunce hat. They were acting dumb, 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 dumb. To quote a famous Christian, Gomer Pyle. These people, they must have been embarrassed when 9,700 of them had to go home on their way home. You know, you all ever do this? When you do something dumb, do you ever hit yourself on the forehead? You ever do that? You know, what was I thinking? Can you imagine 9,700 people walking into town going, what were we thinking? What were we thinking? Everybody says, what's that? Is it a new salute? Is that the new Hitler? You know, Sieg Heil, Willis, what were we thinking? What were we thinking? These guys weren't, they weren't dumb. They were just not thinking. They were being dumb. And they should have said, you know what? I should have taken that a little more seriously. Somebody said, well, what were you thinking? The answer was they weren't. They weren't. Some of you just need to smarten up a little bit. You need to smarten up. You need to decide to think spiritually. You know something? I can stand in this pulpit and preach on a given subject and warn you of the devil's trick. And a day after I warn you, you go out and do what I just told you, we'll get you in trouble. I'll say to you, if you do this, this bad thing's going to occur within 24 hours. You say, I did it, and it occurred. But I'm bleeding. You'd been better off not getting shot. Should have listened. Smarten up. I had a coach. His name was Mr. Stanley. Boy, I can remember only one thing that he ever said to me. Use your head, boy! Use your head! Use your head, boy! Use your head! I say to some of you spiritually, use your head! Good. I remember another coach that used to say, you need to get your head out of your armpit. That ain't really what he said, but I can't say what he said. I don't know what you're thinking. That's your problem, buddy. Use your head! You know something, folks? Most of the people that are born again in this room, if you just start using your head, your life wouldn't be a mess. You're just not thinking spiritually. You're not letting the Bible make your decisions. You're not letting the preaching guide you. Well, I don't come in here to preach just to entertain you. That is not the point. We're not bringing all of our friends down to the zoo to watch the monkey called the preacher bounce around the platform and eat bananas. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to help you make decisions in life. Don't be a dumb money. Start using your brain. Use the Bible. Let it be your guide. Think before you spend that money. Think before you speak those words. Think before you participate in that. Think before you take a job that takes you out of church. Think before you move your family out of God's will. Think, 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 think.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. People that are successful at the Christian life make successful decisions. Every decision either keeps you on the path of God's will or you veer off. It's time for some of you to realize you're messing up because of the kinds of decisions you're making. Make the very best decision that it might glorify God. Some seem to repeat the same mistakes over and over again. Think before you make a decision. I believe you could have taken some of these 9,700 people and said, hey, let's go get a drink of water. And I'll bet my last dollar some of the 9,700, after already making the mistake the first time, would have gone down, got on all fours, and lapped the water like a dog again. You say, what makes you think that? I happen to know human beings. There are some of you, you're in the same mess you were in a year ago. You were there a year ago and you said, I shouldn't have done that. You've turned around and done the same thing. You turn around, you're in the same mess. You broke up with some man or some woman. You said it was a mess. I shouldn't have been in a relationship. I need a sold-out, dedicated Christian man to date or a sold-out, dedicated Christian woman if I'm going to get married someday. And you're back in the same mess all over again. Wake up!
Yeah.
Wake up! Don't be a dumb bunny. I wonder how many people will not accomplish what God wants them to accomplish because they won't stop and think. Stop and ask yourself, what would Jesus do if he were making this decision? Stop and think, what would the preacher do if he were making this decision? What would the most spiritual person I know do if they were making this decision? Hey, at least do this. Stop and say, what does the devil want me to do? Stop and think. You had 22,000 that were scaredy cats, put their tail between their legs with a yellow streak down their back, and they ran. God said, now you got 10,000, let's put them through a little think test. The first were cowardly. Now let's find out how many thinkers you have. He said, take them down, let them get a drink of water. 9,700 of them couldn't think. They wouldn't think. They didn't think before they drank. You need to stop and think. Folks, Christians, live your life on purpose. Think through your life. Don't float through your life. Christians shouldn't get up in the morning and forget about God all day long. You gotta get up in the morning and think about God and ask God, what do you want out of me today? How's it gonna be today? How do you want me to act today? Where do you want me to go today? What do you want me to do today? People that live that way have better lives. But when you wake up in the morning and you think nothing about God all day long, and Tuesday you do the same thing, and Wednesday you do the same thing, you come to church and I remind you on Wednesday night about God. Some of you don't think about God a lick from Sunday morning until the next Sunday morning. And that is a sin against your Creator. You are not thinking, my friend. Some of you don't want to think spiritually, do you? You think you know what's best for your life. When we go comparing your brain to God's brain, you lose. You lose. It'd be smart for you to start letting him do your thinking for you. That's why your life is a mess. That's why you got to fake your Christianity. Hey, you let it become real. All you got to do is live his way. You see, we have the scaredy cats. We have the dumb bunnies. They weren't thinking. But finally, we have the bugle boys. We have the 300. They weren't, if they were afraid, they held it in and said, I want to be a part of this thing. And then when they went down to get a drink of water, they said, you know something, I'm going to act like an animal now. I'm going to keep my eye out. The enemy might be coming. I'm going to be like that deer. I'm going to keep my eye out. I'm going to be a survivor. God said, you give me those 300. They don't have yellow streaks. They're at least willing to think and think spiritually. And I am going to show them something they have never seen before. If some of you would get that fear out of your life, if some of you would decide to think spiritually, you could see some things happen in your life that you've never seen before. There are people in this room, you say, Brother Owens, I am bogged down. My life has brought some pretty heavy things. I don't think I can get the victory. I feel like I am outnumbered. Well, let me tell you something. It will get your fear out of your life. If we can get you thinking spiritually, God will put a bugle in your hand. He'll deliver you. That's something you couldn't do for yourself, but God can deliver you without even raising another weapon. You say, I don't see any human way possible out of my mess. Hey, it may not be humanly possible, but we have a great big God. And it might not be a rifle he puts in your hand, it might be a bugle. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It says more than conquerors, not just conquerors. These guys that fought this war, I'll promise you something, they were more than conquerors.
Amen.
Hey, look, had these 300 men, had they had machine guns, they would have been conquerors. They had bugles, water pitchers, and flashlights. Don't you think that in the newspaper, it looked real good for the home team? These people had victory. They may have been afraid, but they didn't let it stop them. They watched the scaredy cats flee. They watched them. These men actually watched 22,000 people take off. Thank God they didn't. They took the time to think. They knew they'd been taught. They knew that, there are some of you, you don't even have to have a bunch of scriptural training for this church. You have a conscience that tells you some of the stuff you're up to is no good. Your conscience, your mama taught you better when you were a child. And you know it. And that influence somewhere along the line is a biblical influence. And though you may not be trained in the doctrines of the Bible, there are some of you, your own conscience says you're not living right. But these people had been trained and they watched the dumb bunnies flunk out. Think of the story they could tell when they got home. Picture these 300 when they got back after the war was won. First of all, they're saying, I made it. I made the cut. They went from 32,000 down to 300. I got to be a part of the 300. And then, I watched these guys, they were scared and they ran. And then the other, they weren't smart enough to think through the thing. And then they said, I need you and you and you and you and you and you and you. And I was one of the 300. I got to play ball. I wasn't on the bench. I was a part of the excitement. And then I thought, boy, this is going to be great. What's next? And they gave me a bugle and I thought, I can't play a bugle. I have no musical talent at all. They told me, just blow that baby for everything you're worth. And they gave me a pitcher. They didn't get any water in it. No Gatorade, no nothing. They gave me a pitcher and a light. And Gideon, I'll tell you what, Gideon's got backbone. Gideon said, fellas, you just do what I do, and if I die, you die, but let's go down together. They said, all right, if you're willing to die for this thing, we're willing to die. We're going to do it. And Gideon said, don't worry. We're not going to die. These are God's instructions. And Gideon, he all of a sudden, he said, blow your trumpet. I flew for everything I was worth. Everybody else was playing a tune. It was like a bad day with beans. He said, Gideon, you shouted the sword of the Lord and Gideon. I shouted the sword of the Lord and Gideon. I smashed my pitcher. I held my light. You should have seen all those monkey-minded Midianites. They trashed their own camp and killed each other. I got to be a part. We mopped them up. Guess who is listening to the story? The scaredy cats and the dumb bunnies. God smeared those guys for us. God kicked them around the field. God brought a great victory, and I got to be a part of it. They could tell their children about it. They could tell their grandchildren about it. These were not geniuses. They just took the time to think and obey. They were not necessarily muscular powerhouses. They just believed God would deliver them and didn't let fear steal victory from them. They had to believe God, and they stepped out. Even though they had fear, they stepped out. They obeyed what I'm sure they did not understand. It's time for some of you Christians to stop thinking you need to analyze everything God tells you to do.
Well, if I could understand that, I'd do it.
You show me where the Bible says you're supposed to understand before you obey. You ought to do the same thing they did. And I'll promise you, some of you analytical geniuses, you would have been a scaredy cat. You think you're a genius, but you would have been a dumb bunny because you would have gone home. Because when they said, all right, I'm giving everybody a bugle, I'm giving everybody a pitcher, and everybody a flashlight, we're going to war, you would have said,
I have a better education than that. I will not participate in this ridiculousness.
And God would have said, then go home, dumb bunny, scaredy cat. A bunch of average guys said, I'm in. Give me the bugle. I don't have to understand. If God said it, I'm going to do it. They obeyed what was hard. They never heard it. They just obeyed. Some of you need to stop questioning God and what He expects and just obey Him by faith. Not because you understand, but because you believe He is God. They took time to think spiritually, not carnally. They knew they were in a spiritual war and they had to think spiritually. They didn't question God's technique. They thought God and Gideon knew what was best. They probably got to keep their bugles. I think they got to keep their bugles, took them home and hung them on their mantle. Boy, you shoot a big old buck with a nice rack, you get it mounted where everybody can see it. I'll promise you, over these guys' mantles, they had their bugles hanging. People come into their house and they'd say, see that bugle? I was there. Want to hear the story? Well, Daddy, I've heard the story about 400 times. Well, son, let me tell you again. Well, I might have left something out. They probably had a bugle boys reunion every 10 years. Relive the victory. They went down in biblical history because they were not scaredy cats or dumb bunnies. Let me ask you a question. What big spiritual victory have you had recently? How about I call you up here to testify? You take this microphone and you tell us. What spiritual victory have you had for God recently? Really? I really don't have any. Scaredy cat? You dumb bunny? I call upon the people of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church to get you a bugle.
Amen.
Step out! So you know what, God, I'm not satisfied with average Christianity. I just don't want to float through life. I want something to happen. This world is starved for some Christians that are bugle boys. You know something, according to the percentage of this story, we have a whole lot of scaredy cats, a few less dumb bunnies, and a remnant, a very small number of bugle boys. I'll tell you what I want to be. I want to be a bugle boy. Are you saved today? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? I'm not asking you if you're religious. You'll find out this around here. We're not into that religious junk. We're into the truth of the Word of God. There are all sorts of people out there believing all sorts of things, hoping it'll get them to heaven. You better do what God said to get you to heaven. He's the one that's in charge of those gates up there. You don't get by unless you come by with a pass from Him, and that pass is going to come because you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hey, are you saved? If you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I'm asking if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven because you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Say, well, I'm a member of a church. You can be a member of every church in this county and still die and go to hell. Church membership does not save you. Your good deeds will not save you. Why else would Jesus Christ came and die? What a waste of God's Son. Why would he waste his son and put him through everything that he went through if you had to turn around and work your way to heaven? No, it doesn't work that way. He purchased heaven for us. You say, well, aren't we supposed to do something for him? Yeah, you're supposed to get saved and serve him with all your might for the rest of your life. But you don't pay for your salvation. He paid for that. Hey, are you not saved? Why? Scaredy cat? See, we're going to give an invitation here in a second. What's going to happen? The instrumentalists will play. We'll all stand. We'll say, if you're not born again, leave your seat, walk down this aisle, come down here and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I'll guarantee you there'll be somebody in that balcony that won't come down here because you're a chicken. There's somebody in these pews. You need to be saved. You know you need to, but you have a yellow streak down your back. And the devil will intimidate you out of a lifetime in heaven because you're a scaredy cat. Devil's been intimidating people and spiritual things for a long time. But, I promise you something else. There'll be a bunch of people say, hey, I'm going down there getting me a bugle. I'm going down there, I'm signing up. I'm going to get saved. Hey, are you not saved today? Is it that you're a dumb bunny about salvation? Let me explain something to you. Salvation is free to you. Costs you nothing. You say, salvation seems so complicated. No, somebody's messed with your mind. It's the simplest thing that a man can do. He paid for it all. You receive it. The hard part is not your part, it's his part. And he's already done the hard part. He made salvation available. You receive it freely. You realize you're a sinner and there's a penalty for your sin and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You turn to him and say, I want to be saved. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and be my Savior. He saved you. It's taken care of. Don't be dumb about it, folks. I mean, it's free. I'm not asking you to join my church. I'm not asking you to do any of that. I'm telling you, come get free salvation. Don't be dumb about it. It's simple. The devil wants to keep us dumb to salvation. Hey, you a scaredy cat? A dumb bunny? You know what I want to be? I want to be a bugle boy. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.